any business, you have to understand the technological shift that is happening right now in our world. And it is. And yes, every day you can find something wrong with AI. Every day. And every day you can find something great with AI. But if you're not adopting and integrating AI in your practice, you're going to lose out to those that are. It's just that simple. You will. Now, I have a kid that's about to graduate from college in a couple of months, and he's like, man, the world's changed since I got to college 4 years ago. And it has.
Welcome back to the Performance Mindset Podcast. I'm your host, Amy Calandrino, and after a decade of serving some of the top business folks in Orlando and beyond, I've met some inspirational leaders and individuals along the way. And so if you're looking to grow, you're tuning into the right show. I have a special guest with me today, Rod Santamassimo with the Massimo Group. I first met Rod when I was very pregnant with my first baby, Giovanni Calandrino. So I was at his conference back heading into like 2020 and trying to, you know, set myself up for success, and made it through most of the conference before I had to go to the hospital. but his insights and coaching have been great, and it's amazing. More than doubled my GCI since then, and still growing, and it's been a great resource. And I know he's helped a lot of my friends. And he had a recent CoStar article that talked a lot about mindsets, and having a podcast about mindset, I thought it'd be great to have Rod here today. So welcome to the show.
Amy, I got to tell you, when it comes to mindset, I remember specifically when you came to the conference ready to give birth, and I'm like, is she going to be okay? And then you came up to me the second day and said, hey, I apologize, but I have to go have a baby. I was like, oh, go. So your mindset of continually learning in all circumstances and situations is phenomenal. So Thanks. Yes, it's a blast being here.
Well, and it's been interesting since I've had the podcast, like even it's helped me to be even more intentional. And, you know, I've noticed a lot of different things, and like you were just talking about learning, trying to grow, and a lot of the principles that you talk about all help to formulate yourself for a lasting success. So want to start the, not everybody listening may know you, like tell us about what you do, the Massimo Group, and what led you to establish it?
Yeah, well, the Massimo Group is a coaching organization. We're proud to have 30 plus coaches working with us now, all focused on helping individuals, specifically in the commercial real estate field, brokers, mortgage brokers, and bankers, build the business and life they desire. That's what the Massimo Group is. And I've been running that now for 15 years of my, oh, cheese and crackers, 36-7 years of a professional time out of it. So yeah, Amy, when I left grad school, like old dumb MBAs, I went back to New York where I'm from and said, I gotta be on the street, right? But I realized quickly, I'm not built for corporate world, and I'm not built for large organizations. But I found myself being pushed and pulled to entrepreneurial endeavors until I discovered Massimo Group. I work with several organizations, but I also did a lot of crazy things. I'm a patented inventor, started a recruiting company for lacrosse high school kids, but always entrepreneurial in heart. But every time something went wrong or bad or my mindset wasn't right, I made excuses and went back to working for the man. And you know, it wasn't until the Great Recession that the man kicked me out and said, go figure out what you want to do. And that's when I said, okay, enough is enough. And I started the Massimo Group.
And, you know, I've heard your story. I think you had like a 48 folding card table, like in the beginning.
Yeah.
And
that was it. It was a six foot plastic table in my, I don't know, they call it living room or den or whatever they call it back then. And just hammering away 16 hours a day. That's what it was. And just seeing my wife and two young kids back then at dinner, but working my butt off trying to launch a company. But I was destined never to work again for somebody. And that mindset is what pull me through the hard times. And, you know, the first 2 or 3 years were tough. They were. Mm-hmm. But I had the conviction that helped.
It's interesting because my career has evolved over time, where I've ended up with like the specialty of entrepreneurs are always afraid of losing their lease. And they, you know, they never know what the landlord is going to do. And so a huge part of what I do is helping people cross the bridge to investor class. so they never have to worry again about like a landlord, you know, kicking them out. And so that's really what I've gotten to be known for, like in Orlando, because I've done the same thing for myself and my family. But, you know, once you've had like it inflicted so much pain, like not having that control and then able to find like a better solution for you and your family, then you can't really ever like look back, you know, on that.
Right. No. And it's a great analogy. Just like your clients, you know, they're though they have their own business, they're still, you know, answering to the man, in this case, the landlord, and you're helping them find total control by owning their own destiny and their own properties. So it's same thing with mindset, same thing.
Yeah. Well, and now that I've had the podcast and everything, it's given me a lot of clarity of like, that's the kind of client though I want to work with too, that has that growth mindset. So then it's made it really easy in my business. It's interesting.
Yeah.
So absolutely. I think that there's some specific traits you talked about in the CoStar article. Can you talk a little bit about those traits and why you feel like they're critical for success?
Yeah, you know, we all talk about traits of success and, you know, certainly discipline. You're a very disciplined person, Amy, I know, just following you. But, you know, discipline's certainly key. But I look at this, I love these C words. I'm into C words lately, and they're different if you think about them. So there's commitment. You know, how committed are you to your success? You can say you're committed. That's one thing, right? But show me that you're actually committed. But then have the conviction behind the commitment. A lot of folks tell me they're committed, but I could tell right away they don't have the conviction. And that conviction is they don't believe. They don't believe what's possible. They don't believe they can achieve it. And without the conviction, it's likely they won't. And the last C word would be, now here's the hard part, it's consistent day in, day out to have that conviction and the commitment and bring it every day. That's the toughest part. Look, anyone can say, yeah, I'm going for it in the morning of one day on Monday. How do you feel on Friday afternoon? I'm out of here. I can't wait for the weekend. That's not consistency. So those three, I think, the commitment, the conviction being the most important, and then the consistency is what we need to see to get the success you're looking for.
Well, I think that you could develop a plan and then you're just like, oh, I'm going to put it over in this drawer. And, you know, I think you have to, and I think the conviction kind of ties in with the mindset, you know, as well. Like, I mean, that's, you're ready and you're going to stick to it no matter what. And what was the third one you said? It was
the consistency.
The consistency. Yeah. I think it's, you know, rinse and repeat, keep doing it and trust in the process. I know that your firm has like a whole process, your coaching organization. And if they trust in the process, you've been able to get great results, you know, using that.
Yeah. And look, it's like any client base, Amy, I'm sure, you know, it's far and few between like us. Not every client's perfect. Not every client's going to be happy results. But you have to ask, did you do what we laid out? Well, no. Well, let's revisit why this isn't working, right? Yeah, you have to work the process. And a proven process is tough for some people. It just is.
Well, that was one thing that you really worked with me on, was having like a process for the different things that I did with my clients. And if they're not using Amy's team of people and they're not using my process, then I can't guarantee their result. In every single time that something goes wrong without fail, you know, they don't want to keep two LOIs and fail if they're, you know, in contention, if they are pursuing a lease, or they don't want to do, you know, what I've always done, then it always falls down to, you know, that they didn't fall. Now, sometimes crazy things happen, but most of the time, if they don't listen to you, then you can't guarantee what's going to happen. So
you can't.
Can you talk about, like, you've worked with so many people over the years. How many coaching clients has the Mossimo Group had?
It's over 4,000 now.
Wow.
You know, that's over a 15, 16-year horizon. And any given year right now, I think we have 550-something clients around the globe. But it, you know, every day is different. But yeah, and you know this because you went through the program, we assess everyone on their personalities. So everyone is different. Every single person is different. And that's why coaching with the right alignment, and that's the key word, you can get results.
Except for, you said everybody's different, except for, I think for your first time in your entire career, you had me and Chris Jackson that had the same exact numbers. And you said, basically, we're the entrepreneurs that were like, put the pedal down and then stop.
Yep.
And then you almost like you had to take and you're like, you guys got to like kind of chill out, which I have actually a little bit.
You have chilled out. You have. I think kids chill us out.
Yes, that's true too.
But yeah, there's so many, but it's beyond the personality styles. But look, and you and Chris have the same personality DNA.
Right.
You do.
Right.
But you're totally different people.
That's true, too. Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Look, Chris is never pulling off those glasses. It's never going to happen.
No, it's not. But I do think it's like having that awareness of what your tendency is going to be, you know, can help you to have that awareness so that you can make the changes so that you can be, you know, successful. And I didn't realize that I was constantly causing myself whiplash because I was like, oh, that's a great idea. I'm going to pursue that and like run this way, run that way, instead of kind of more staying consistent and kind of staying on the path. And, you know, your organization helped me to have better clarity about that.
Well, I like the word you use is so strong, Amy, is tendencies. We all have tendencies.
Yes.
It's how we adjust those tendencies and not absolute to help us move forward.
Yeah. But you've seen many transformations. So do you have like a standout story that you have?
Yeah, we have so many. I mean, that's a question I love. You know, I got an email today from a coach saying that some guy, and this is this example. Look, they make our clients have a tendency, there you go, is that word again,
to make
significantly more money than their peers. That's a fact. And that's great. I mean, that's awesome. But the things I look for, like I got an email today, it's someone's about to buy their first house. That's awesome, right? Wow. Someone built a new house. Someone went on vacation. Someone is quitting. And they just, because now they can. If they want to, great for them. To me, that's what transformation is. I'll give you one story. And this is one this is so weird. So we had a kid join our organization as a client. He's like, he was just a kid. And I think he was 24. Which is unusual for us at the program he invested in, which was our highest level program. And if I had known that, I probably would have said, wait a minute, this is not the right fit. But I found out after he purchased. And I called him and said, his name is Jared Hussman. He works with Catalyst out in Iowa, I believe, of all places. Great. And I said, Jared, what are you doing investing this in yourself? Help me understand, right? But Jared's the guy that I was reading Tony Robbins, you know, and all the other gurus and said, I need to get better. And he begged and borrowed and stealed to get better. He did. And he borrowed money from his parents to get in our programs, which I don't like putting anyone in financial hardship, but he said, Rod, it's going to be worth it. I've now seen videos of that guy. And we just communicated last week. In fact, this is like 10 years ago. He's traveling the world now. He's a top producer in his organization. He has his own firm now.
Wow.
When I see that, he had the commitment, he had the consistency, but he had the conviction to say, I'm going to be great at this. And he is. And it's one of many, but that one to me, I love that one. That one I love.
Well, it would almost seem to me that I think you have something that you call like the transaction treadmill. And, you know, they're making money. So perhaps, you know, it is an investment, but almost it seems to me like, you know, that person, they had everything to lose, that they almost had to make it work, that, you know, versus it might be easier for someone who's been on that for a long time. And it's like a drop in the bucket for them to then revert back. I don't know. It'd be interesting to kind of like think about.
Well, it's interesting. Well, it's about mindset.
Right.
Okay. So one thing I learned early in my coaching career, look, if you could pay me, I was going to coach you. It was just that simple. You know, if you could pay, I was going to coach you because I'd pay my bills. That's what it worked. You've been there. You're taking deals that were small and like, but you took it. But then we found out really quickly, talking about mindset, that the individuals who did not pay for themselves, maybe it was a broker or a partner or someone, it didn't work. It just didn't work because they didn't have much skin in the game, and their mindset was, if it doesn't work out, it's not my money. It's, you know, it's not my. So we changed everything we've done now and said, for our new to business brokers, their broker can pay. But for everyone else, unless they have significant skin in the game, we will not coach them. And we lose clients because of that. And I don't care. You have to have skin in the game. You have to have a commitment that you're going to do well or it's not going to work.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think about it. I have a running coach, and she comes across, you know, the people that, you know, won't put in the time, and, you know, or, you know, there's not a big, you know, invest. I think, yeah. And I think you just have that mindset, you know, ready to change and follow something new. So what I loved is I saw you at the CREI summit in September back in Orlando, and we were talking a lot about, there's been industry's recent shifts, there's been technological advancements and all those kinds of things. Like, what are some different things that commercial real estate professionals can do to adopt their mindset or adopt their strategies to stay ahead? Well, and of course, number one is call you, but
I love what you're doing. Yeah. You're using, you look, words matter.
Right.
Words, especially on podcasts,
yeah.
You know, it's all verbal. You didn't say adapt, you said adopt. And everyone understand, there's a huge, huge difference.
Yeah.
Between adapting,
yep, adapting
and adopting.
Yep, that's
right?
True.
Right? You adopt a kid, you're committed. You're doing it. Right? You're going all in.
Yeah.
So I think that's where we are right now, especially in the commercial real estate community. Any business, it's not commercial real estate. Any business, you have to understand the technological shift that is happening right now in our world. And it is. And yes, every day you can find something wrong with AI. Every day. And every day you can find something great with AI. But if you're not adopting and integrating AI in your practice, you're going to lose out to those that are. It's just that simple. You will. I have a kid that's about to graduate from college in a couple of months. And he's like, man, the world's changed since I got to college 4 years ago. And it has. So he's going to go to grad school and learn more about AI and everything else and come out in a better position. That's just where the world is today. So that's one thing I'd say right away. Let's figure out, and it's easy. I don't care if you Google it or get a free ChatGPT account. Just start diving in and seeing what's out there and how the world and technology can work for you.
Yeah. Well, I think if anything, it doesn't replace the human element. I was in a group of friends last night, and they say even at these corporations that they utilize the AI for like maybe 80% of it, but then it still requires like a human touch and like, you know, to finesse it and deploy it and use it like effectively. But it is a great tool. I had a meeting this morning, and I was telling you about it before we started recording. I was on Park Avenue, Winter Park, and I love Winter Park. It's north of Orlando. And if you don't know where it is, you should look it up.
It's beautiful.
The next time you come to Orlando, you just hit me up. I'll take you out for drinks. So that is an invitation to anybody listening to the podcast. And I've done it when many people have come to town. They're like, I had the best time. So, but I was sitting there and where I'm on the Park Avenue District, which is part of the American Main Street program. So it's its own defined and we're coming up with our mission statement. And we're having this ideation among like the six of us sitting there. And then I'm taking all these ideas. And then I put in a ChatGPT prompt and it says, hey, I'm part of this district. www.parkavenuedistrict. And, you know, we're trying to come up with this. We really like Pepsi's mission statement, which goes like this, you know, and this is what we're thinking. Can you give us some different ideas? And then we distilled it further. We ended up coming up with something that was so emotionally evocative and incredible. And it was using ChatGPT and everybody at the table was just like, like, we would have probably taken another two or three meetings, and it was still requiring human touch and all the other things, but it was a tool to like help speed up the, you know, the velocity of our brainstorming and come up with this amazing mission statement.
Yeah, it's an accelerator. That's exactly what it is. It's an accelerator. Yeah, can a kid in college go write a whole paper without doing anything? I guess so. But for most people, it's how you use it. And you said, sometimes it's bad and you got to go back and reformat it and just give different prompts to get to what you want. But it is a great accelerator. It truly is.
Well, it's something you have to like practice with, you know, even like, you know, when you go through your coaching, you learn all about, you know, doing cold calls and role-playing and doing it. You know, I've gotten to where I'm often friends with people within like 5 minutes of doing a cold call where I was terrified before. And so I think it's just practice. And I think someone's doing themselves a disservice if they don't push themselves out there to try something new, because if you're afraid of failure, and I think you mentioned it too, being able to visualize yourself being successful, utilizing that. Yeah.
You You have to, if you don't have a, look, if right now you're sitting listening to this and you don't have a future vision of yourself, that's really the definition of being stuck. Mm. You are where you are and you don't see yourself in a different place or different position or different whatever. So you always got to set the future vision. So where you're going, always.
Yeah. Yeah. I think it's key. I update it every year and do different pictures and different things. You know, I love to golf. So, you know, there's definitely lots of golf pictures and, you know, things like that. So I love commercial real estate, but I love golf. So in coaching, accountability plays a crucial role. How do you foster this with your clients or, you know, your coaches do with their clients? And what advice do you have for listeners in maintaining accountability?
You know, look, first of all, it's really hard. And I heard, I think it was Alex Hormozi, I heard say this. He's a business guru. Transformation does not happen in isolation. It just doesn't, right? Transformation does not happen in isolation. So if you're trying to get to that next level, that's a kind of thematic word, or whatever you're trying to do, get in shape. Look, Amy, I just found out that Amy wants to become a better runner. She got a coach, right? I'm having some vocal issues right now. I hired a vocal coach. I have a business coach. I have another coach and a fitness coach because I don't know what I don't know. Uh-huh. And those folks can hold me accountable. Now, Amy, could you read a book on running? Sure. Would you do everything that book says? Maybe. If you didn't, who would know? You would know, right? Sometimes that's not enough. So what you've done is you said, you know what? I'm going to get someone to hold me accountable, to make me show up. And more importantly, they know what I don't know. It's just like AI. Right. It's an accelerator. That's what it is.
Yeah. And my coach is the best. Oh my gosh. Last time I've had such a busy year that I brought my kids with me last time and she was pushing the stroller so I could really start to try to book it a little bit. So, I agree. I love that quote. I might put that on my desk, but like transformation doesn't happen in isolation. And I was telling someone that the other day is I'm part of a 9-hole women's golf league. And it's just, for me, it's like plugging into like a power source. And we're all like encouraging each other and getting better by getting out there. And it's become a bit of like a family. And I think that if I didn't have that to go to and on my calendar, then I don't necessarily get out to golf. I have to like get myself like out there. And if it's on my calendar that I'm going to do it. Because also I know they're going to be disappointed not to see me.
You just identified another huge accountability and mindset variable, and that variable is community. It just is. So let's say instead you hung out with, I'm gonna make this up, you hung out with the ladies' donut club and you meet every week and sit on the couch for an hour talking about stuff. It's a different community,
right. But
that would have a different result.
Right.
It would, right? So the community from a mindset shift, if your mindset right now, you're having negative thoughts, and I'm not going to get too deep in this, but
yeah. If
you're having more negative thoughts and you're thinking less of your condition and yourself, and I don't mean a mental health way, I mean it's an environmental way.
Yeah.
Look at your surroundings. Look at your relationships. Look at your colleagues. Who are you hanging out with, right? Create a different community. I'm sure you heard this story, and I think I love this one, right? Where the kid was handed down a car from his grandfather and said, you know, do what you want with it. And the kid said, he went to the junkyard and said, they're going to give me $500. He said, okay. And he went to the car dealer, and the car dealer said, I'll give you $1,000. And then he put it on eBay and didn't realize it was an antique car, and he got $30,000. And so the moral of the story was, it's all based on the people you're around that value you the most. And that's what it is. You know, who's valuing you? So if you want to get better, be around better community.
Yeah. And I think I've been part of your coaching community. And like even just so many of those I still cross paths with, whether it's Francisco Jaramillo or or otherwise. And it's also really super cool running into them, whether it's at SAOR or CCIM or all the different alphabet soup of commercial real estate. We sure have a lot of acronyms. So what if someone is struggling to meet their professional targets? What advice would you have to kind of recalibrate their approach and mindset?
Find somebody.
Yeah.
Just find anybody. Anybody that's where you want to be. Just find them and ask them and talk to them. And if you have to, I know we talked about it's readings different than coaching, but figure it out. I mean, I you know, although I'm a voracious reader, more importantly, I read limited books and read them again and again to get the true value. I mean, I know you're a reader as well. Me reading 100 books a year isn't going to do anything for me. Rereading 3 books a year is going to do a lot for me. It just is. That's for me personally. But find other sources. Be intellectually curious. You know, don't be ignorant. We're all ignorant. Don't be arrogant. You'll never go anywhere. But be curious. If you're curious, man, you'll get out of that rut.
Yeah. Yeah. I had an epiphany like a year or two ago that the people that I really, really, really enjoy being around are kind and curious people, because kind people are generally going to be honest people. They're generally going to have integrity. They're generally going to be fair, you know, those kinds of like attributes. And curious means they're not stagnant and they're moving like in a positive way. And so I'm really intentional about being sure that like I'm around those types of, you know, individuals, because I just ain't nobody got time for that. The people that don't, like for me, I think when you also get to a certain space and you have that growth mindset, anything that's like dragging down, you can like feel it. And for me, I'm able to more like quickly like edit than maybe I was able to do like 5 years ago. So
right. And I love your word. You know, over here on my desk, I have a pile of cards, and every day I write a card to someone, client, teammate, friend, just gratitude. You know, and so if you're in a funk, you feel better when you realize that there's some good things out there. There are,
yeah.
Right? And in fact, on that corner of my office, I have what we call the gratitude box. And it's just, it just is what it is. It's full of letters and postcards of clients across the globe who just said, and I haven't met these people who said, thanks for changing my life. You know, if someone's going to take the time to write me a letter, you know I'm going to reach out to them and say, gee golly, that was really special.
Yeah.
So
that's awesome. Yeah. No, I think like what you send out, you generally, you know, get back. And so it is important for that. So what do you think, and we talked a little bit about that, but like, what are the different things you use to measure success in your coaching relationships? You talked about, you know, where they are in their personal lives, professional lives. What other things do you think about?
Well, number one, the gratitude box is my number one measure of success. You know, sure, I can look at my bank account and go, okay, it's getting bigger. And that's nice, I guess. Though I do believe people don't believe it until they start having money. That money is not bring you happiness. It doesn't. It's just money. It's all it is.
Right.
So the gratitude is my measure of success. But beyond that, I'm also a big follower of Adam Grant, who has a phenomenal podcast.
Yes.
And he's like a multiple time winner of faculty member of the Wharton School of Business, or the Wharton School in University of Pennsylvania. And he defines success simply as your success is measured by the people you make successful. That's it. And if you can do, and I agree with that personally, it's not the money, it's not the material items, it's not none of that stuff. It's how many people said, man, you made an impact on my life. And from that, I could be happy.
Yeah. I feel the same. I feel the same way. Like I get new clients, but most of my clients have been with me so much along their like journey. And then just to continue to see them have success and continuing to grow, for me, is the most rewarding part of it. So, you know, I had one client today, she's like, thank you for being with me. I know that things haven't been coming together. But now I know like we're getting like the best results, and thanks for not pushing me into anything that didn't make sense. And like, it makes me feel, you know, really good and like pushes me forward and, you know, such. So do you have any final pieces of advice or anything we didn't talk about developing a winning mindset?
You know, I look, I know a lot of people say this, and I do believe, stop putting garbage in your head. Just stop it. What are you doing? I'm not a big watcher of the news.
Yep.
I'm not. You know, here's a perfect example, Amy. I don't know if you're following this story, but a New York community bank, major bank in New York, major real estate holdings, everyone's watching them. Yesterday, they were going bankrupt, mm-hmm. and the FDIC was coming in. They had bought in some of the Signature Bank's portfolio, and the world was over, right? Well, then last night, a billionaire came in and said, I got this, right? And he took care of it. And that's just, why does that story matter? It doesn't. Things happen. Don't focus on what could be and what if and what might be and oh my gosh. Focus on what is possible. If you're finding yourself saying I can't do something, no, you're just currently challenged on doing it. It's all about what you put in your head and your mind that propels you to where you're going to go.
I would agree with that. And I think you should never say can't. You can say I can't yet, you know, because
yeah. There you go, yet.
Well, someone told me that a year ago, and I'm like, oh, I love that. So I don't ever say, like, I can't yet, but I think I can eventually. I think, like, you know, having the podcast, I thought about reaching out to different people. Like, you know, I reached out to Arnold Schwarzenegger the other day just for fun and didn't reach out. But then John Cena started following me on X, and I was like, what is going on? So...
Well, it's funny you say that, Amy. Bring the world back. When I patented that sports watch, I got in front of him. He looked at it, shook his hand, and it's like it was at the Arnold thing in Columbus. And I was like, "Oh my God, Arnold Schwarzenegger!"
But I'm like, I've become friends with Aviva now, who's she's become a client of y'all's.
She's a client of ours, yes.
Yes, she reached out to me ahead of time, and I was like, "Yeah, go for it." And it's so interesting is, you know, she's been really fearless and, you know, and is it, I think it's like self-limiting beliefs and, you know, I don't think you could ever escape the trappings of, you know, where you are, unless again, you had the vision of where you want to go. And then also, yeah, I think just don't letting fear and just go for it. I mean, she ended up being over at like with William Macy. And had Gary him in Gary V's office.
Yep.
I mean, how great is she? She just did it.
But let's look, if we leave you with anything, I think, and that's the scary part. Everyone's thinking, I don't know how Amy can do it. How can Amy do that stuff? Right? How can she put herself out there on social media and tell us about her kids and her husband and where, and this is not negative,
right.
where's fashion that's not like the norm, right?
Yeah.
How can she put herself out there?
You know,
and this is the thing.
Yeah.
Amy, has it hurt you in any way being yourself?
No. Because then my friend Ali Becker in Texas is like, I want people to see on social media exactly who I am because it's a good filtering tool. If you're watching this right now and you think I'm batshit crazy and you don't ever want anything to do with me, then just don't call me. But if you are like my vibe and you want like a broker who's a little eccentric and will never give up until they, you know, she gets the best result possible and you're going to be stuck with me forever and we're going to become like friends probably usually is what happens and I'm going to be there for you forever, then call me. But if you want someone who's transactional and an order taker and not have any kind of strategy whatsoever, you can call some other person in Orlando.
Yeah. So you're in. Be yourself.
Right.
Of course, be smart. Don't go political. Don't go religious.
No.
Don't go there. But be yourself. Be yourself. And if you want to go political or go religious, just be fine with the response. And that's okay.
Yeah.
If that's what you want.
Yeah. I don't go political at all. And even in the community, if I go to anything political, I'm going to every single person that's running for city commission because I don't know who's going to win. So, and I need to have that for zoning. And then religious, I talk about my faith because it's important to me. But I also say like, I want anybody to do whatever it is that they want to do and they believe in, and I'm totally supportive of it. But yeah, I think, being yourself is so important. So, well, it's been really good having you on the show today. And
you're the best, Amy.
Thank you. How do people get a hold of you or your organization?
Massimo, MASSIMO-group.com is the easiest way. We're on every social media platform, but our website's probably the best way. But or just follow Amy because she's incredible.
You know, I started doing social media back in 2017 and didn't really think of any, but it's been really good. It really helps me to keep top of mind awareness with my referral sources, with my clients, and also get news out to other brokers in other markets. I'm easily, you know, findable, but I am old school too, though. Like I said, I have coffees and lunches multiple times a week. I'm out in the community. I think it's a mixture, and then I'm prospecting, writing letters, calling. It's, it works. So
you got to do all those things. Yeah. You have to. We know. We run the metrics. But Amy, it's been a blast.
Yes.
Thank you so much for having me.
All right. Have a great day. I'll talk to you later.
Take care.